just laying in bed. I hurt real bad after laying in bed.
So it's just nice being here with you guys. Listen to the Bible and to get to hang out. I mean, to me, that's good. That's a good thing. I think I'll heal quicker hearing some preaching and hanging out. I'm not doing any work or anything. So that was my explanation to my wife. She still didn't agree with it, but here I am. Here I am. Yeah. You know? She goes, "You're so stubborn." That's right. I became stubborn when it comes to the house of God. And it's not that I couldn't stay home. I could. Matter of fact, we texted the pastor and said, "We just might not make it this morning. I just had a hard time getting out of bed." And I'm glad I'm here. I don't regret being here. I'll go home and go to sleep, but I don't regret being here. And I'm just saying, you know, are you willing to give up what you have for what God has to offer? That's what I'm going to preach. Are you willing to give up what you have for what God has to offer? And thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Just, you know, the last few months, the Lord has really brought me to a place where I have given up a lot of things because He's got something better to offer me. Now, He had to bring me to a point where I was going to be willing to give up those things that I had to give up. He said, "God's just not going to give you something without taking something away. He needs something out of your life before He can put something in it." Now, are you willing to go to that place? That's a hard place. And I'm not saying my physical condition is because of that, but because of my physical condition, I have gotten closer to the Lord than I've ever been. I mean, I just had to be broke, like Jonah and so many others. I just had to be broke for me to finally listen to God and hear what He's trying to tell me. For me to finally listen and say, "Whoa, you know, that I understand now. I see a little better than I would have on my own." We're going to start in Isaiah, though. Isaiah 38. God, that water's good. Isaiah 38. But I tell you, the last few weeks have just been good preaching. We're over in Hornell. And then being here with this guy. I mean, man. Gosh. And I always tell myself, that's why you don't miss, Dale. Because if I would have stayed home or whatever, I would have missed that. And it was just a good time of the anointing. I've seen it done one other time, the Old Time Baptist, when I was in prison. They had done it there that one time. And now here, and you know what? It was a blessing. I mean, I went home and crashed and, you know, everything else. But still, I mean, it was good to see it. And I love to see that kind of stuff. I love getting invited to other churches and be able to go hang out with them, see what they're preaching on, where they stand in the King James Bible. I mean, where do they got a grip on it? More and more, I'm starting to see now that people are really having a grip on this King James Bible. It's a very few and far, but they're really getting a grip on salvation. They're not with that Romans Road stuff, and they're holding on to that King James Bible. And you know what? They're preaching a salvation that they know. They said, "Just stay away from us. If you just want to put a notch in somebody's belt, go ahead, don't bring that to our church." Those type of people that are starting to get out there now. And I love seeing that kind of stuff. Let's get people saved, man, and not send them to hell, because it almost sent me and my wife to hell, because you can't tell somebody. God has to convince you that you're saved. He has to show you. He has to bear witness. There's a reason why that says that in the Bible, you know. Just in case anybody might forget, there's a reason why God has that written in His Word. There's a spirit that bears witness to your spirit, and you're His. You're His. You're a child of Him. There's a reason that's written in there. There's a reason why things are written in His Word. You know what? People just don't want to see it or hear it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that a person is changed; they become new. There's a reason why that's in there, and a lot of people don't want to hear that or see it. Why? Because they got this Christianity that doesn't change anything in their life. But the love that Jesus shed in my heart, the love that He has shed in me and my wife's life, man, has changed us, has transformed our lives. I mean, just an absolute transformation. And you know what? That's what makes His Word even more real to me. It's because when He speaks, it comes to pass. It just comes to pass. So Isaiah 38, 13 through 17 says, "I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will He break all my bones from day even night. Will thou make an end of me? Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and Himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years into the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and all these things is the life of my spirit. So will Thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You know, these people out here, my wife knows this is one of my favorite verses in Isaiah 38:17, where he says that he has taken those sins and he has cast them behind his back. I just wish people in this world would start doing that. Listen, God forgave me. He forgave those of you who are out here who are saved today, and the world needs to let go of that garbage. I'm going to tell you this, the Baptists need to let go of that garbage. They still hold my sins against me that God has forgiven me for. They let it be known. They don't hide what they hold against me. God forgive me for everything that I have done in my life. I hold none of that in my conscience anymore. I sleep good at night. I don't need pills to do it. I don't need something to knock me out to do it. I sleep good at night because my conscience is clear. Jesus Christ, the same blood that washed me, washed them. The same Jesus that went on that cross forgave me as he forgave them. So I don't understand why there's separation when it comes to forgiveness. Why are you holding my sins against me when it's the same Jesus that did it? If he saved you and saved me and we had the same Jesus, why are you holding on to my sins then? Why can't you let them go? I'm not talking about the people that I did these things against. I'm not talking about people that I just met in the last 6 years. They really don't know me. They don't know what my life has been or what I've been through. They get glimpses of it here and there. But I just love that part in there. He says, for thou hast cast all my sins behind his back. I'm glad I have a God who doesn't hold on to my sins of my past and keep continuing to throw them up my face. I bring them back up. He doesn't. Many of you are sitting here and you're giving in to what the world has to offer. Your flesh, your sin, and you're suffering for that. Let's see why where we are caught in life, and look from the Word of God. I'm having a hard time. Psalm 38, 3-6. 38:3-6. There's no soundness in my flesh because of my anger. I just want you to get that. I could just spark right there for a while. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. We all have that issue. Anger. What's he say right there? There's no soundness in my flesh because of anger. Anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head and a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Listen to me. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Listen, young people, you really think, even older folks and younger folks, that you think you're sitting in here and that you have the answers and that you're okay, and you need to understand that your sins, your burdens are too heavy for you. You think that you really got a grip on things, and you don't. You're really losing control. You're slipping down and you just don't realize it. You're losing control by the minute, and you think that you just have a grip on everything. I'm going to tell you now, as I stand here today, there's never going to be any soundness in your flesh. I know it don't look like I have soundness in my flesh, but I have soundness in my flesh. Because of what's going on with me physically, I'm sound with the Lord. I'm good with Him. I mean, I make my mistakes and so on and so forth, but I don't live such a life that I'm out there sinning, and I'm sinning against God, and I'm dragging Him into my mess and all that. I'm not doing that. But I have soundness. He's giving me rest. The consequences that you see here tonight are consequences of my sin. My sin has destroyed my body. And it will for a very long time. It will take me to my grave. Before sin entered, there wasn't death. In the garden, they would have lived forever. I mean, it just would have went on and on. You know, sin has corrupted the body. Now it can't live for it. Could you imagine your body going on forever and ever? The things that you drag it through and living for eternity in that? What a mess. I'm 42 years old. God forbid. If he ever told me, Dale, you got to live another 300 years, I just couldn't do it in his body. Unless he gave me the power to do it. I mean, I ache. Ask my wife. She sees what I'm like. My wife knows the pain and agony that I'm in when I'm suffering. And I'll tell you this now. People are up here trying to warn you, man. There's going to be no soundness in your bones because of your sin. There's going to be no... Listen, it's going to be heavy for you. That sin's going to eventually break your back. It's going to break your spirit. I mean, it's going to break everything that you really think that you are. I mean, I've met some tough guys when I was in prison. I mean, but I just tell you, the weight of sin, I mean, I just seen it bring them to their knees, man. I just seen the weight of sin and the things that they live, and I just seen it bring, I mean, just bring these guys to their knees, man. It's a heavy thing. The Bible says that life is a hard life, and it's a hard life. You look at people who've been in this church for the last 6 years, they look pretty good. But then you go ahead and look at the ones who've been here for 6 years and have done nothing in their life, and they look rough.
Right.
They look beat up. Oh, you know, I want to change my life. I want things just to be so different. I really just want to search after God. No, you don't. You're a liar. Don't sit here and tell me that. But you know why? Because in the very next breath, you're doing exactly what you used to do. How many times over and over again? And I was caught in that same boat. I just want a different life. I got to get out. I don't want to be a drug addict, an alcoholic no more, this and that. And if, just a little while later, I'd be out there buying drugs and drinking and everything else. Listen, I tell my wife just today, don't talk about it. Do it. God wants to see you do something about it. In the heat of the moment, you know when you're having a bad day or you get in an argument with somebody, you're getting an argument with your spouse or whatever. I mean, you guys, that's it. I give up. I'm done with it. I don't want it anymore. I got to change. I need to change everything in my life. Well, in that moment, when you're feeling that way, go ahead and take that moment into the good times too. Because you need to change it in the good times as well. Just
that's right.
That's where your victory is going to be. That's where your victory is going to be, is when you can have that same exact drive inside of you in the good times as well as the bad. I know that I don't want to sin anymore, and God knows I don't want to. I do. I fall, but I thank God. I want Him to help me to be as sinless as I can. I want Him to teach me what I need to be out of the Bible. I want to have Him teach me how to walk and Him to do things for me. Listen to me. I want this. Whether I'm just coming out of surgery and hurting like crazy, and I want this, or whether I'm sitting at home having a good time. You see, that's the continual drive that's in my life. It doesn't fluctuate. I don't want it one day and not want it the next. If you're having that in your life, you need to get that right. What are you really willing to give up? To give what God has to offer. I mean, what are you really willing to give up? What God has to offer you? I'm telling you now. The pastor was talking about, warring against the flesh. Listen, you're gonna a battle second to none is gonna be waged the moment you make that decision in your heart that's what you really want. You really want to serve the Lord. You really want to have a changed life. I'm telling you now, there's gonna be a battle second to none from that day forward. Here's where people usually give in: they throw out the flag. The second or third day, I'm done. I can't take it no more. It's over with. You don't even fight. Can't call yourself a soldier of Jesus Christ and give up that easy. He calls you a soldier for a reason. A soldier goes out there and does exactly what he's told to do, no matter how hard it gets, even unto death. Even unto death. So why would Jesus call a saved person and call you a soldier and just send you out there, and when you start going through just a little bit, he says, that's it, I'm done. I give up. War's over. You win. He's got so many of those out there now. He's looking for those out there who He has called and said, who's willing? Who's willing to enlist in my army? Who's willing to go through what you're going to have to go through to get where I need you to be? See, we want to take the road He wants us to be. We need to go through what He wants us to go through, not what we want. We're too high and mighty. You know, these people, man, I watch it, you know, I've only been saved 2.5 years or whatever. You know, just in my time being around and this, I mean, people just had this whole, they got it all mixed up. And thank God that I was not raised in the Christian church. Because I wouldn't be able to see the things that I see now if I was raised in a Christian family. I see a lot more from coming in from the outside than if I was in, trying to get out. That's why I was trying to tell Sam and Timmy, you guys are trying to run away from something that I'm trying to run to. The very things that I'm warning you young people about, you're trying to run into it. And you've seen the destruction in my life and others' lives that sit in this very church, and yet you want to play with it. That doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me when I was doing that very thing. But you want to destroy yourself, then you go ahead and continue on the path that you are and think that you know everything. The parents know nothing. Dale knows nothing. I mean, these people that are coming to this church, they know nothing. They're just up there blowing stuff out their mouth. Sad. It's sad. And I thank God that I went through the things that I went through only because I can learn the things that I learned. Only because now I finally see the things that... To blame God for what I went through, if I didn't go through those type of things, I may not see what I see today. I may not realize what I realize today. I just... people go, gosh, that was kind of a hard life. Well, you know what? That's just where I had to go. That's where I had to... God has His reasons why I went through there. But I don't regret... I regret the things that I've done, the decisions I've made. But I don't... Listen to me. This may sound... I don't dwell on it. Okay, that doesn't eat me up. I don't have that cancer on my back. Okay? That's over with.
Amen.
I don't carry that around on my back anymore. I don't have that bitterness anymore. I feel bad for the people that were ever involved. And if God ever opened a door for somebody to come in my life that I had to apologize to, I don't have an issue. I don't have a problem with it. I could do it. That's up to them if they accept it or not. But I'm just telling you now, I don't have issues on my back. That, listen to me. The very men that molested me could walk up to me today, and if they said, "We're going to apologize," I would accept. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. My wife knows that. None of you guys, you never heard me ever say that to you, ever. But my wife has heard that before, because that's the heart God gave me. I'm not saying that's right for everybody. I'm just telling you right now what God has done for my heart, what He's doing for me. He may not do that thing for you, and I'm sorry. But that's just part of the peace. That's part of the joy. That's part of the deliverance that I have standing up here tonight. This is why Dale Morey does what he does. This is why I stand up here, and I don't mind my back hurting, and I'll get up here and give something out of the Word of God. I don't mind going and traveling around the churches. Why? Because I have a God that forgave me. I had a God that gave me a new heart, man, where I could stand there and face an enemy. I could face an enemy. I go through some hard stuff. That's never been easy. But when I was out there living the way I lived, it wasn't easy either. And I fought just as hard to stay out there to do that kind of stuff. Just wouldn't give my life up. I'd look over there, see my beautiful wife and children. I love my life. I brag on that a lot because I love my life. And I thank God for it. Hebrews 11:25. Is that where I'm at? I think so. My wounds stink. Huh? You know, your wounds are stinking now. Get it bandaged up. Jesus said, "Here, I'll bandage you." Come on, man. There's not a person in here. Even young people have some stuff in your past that don't stink. I mean, it stink.
Where are you at now?
I'll just finish in Psalm 38.
Okay.
But we're going to go to Hebrews 11:25. But I'll just stop in there on the stink for a minute, the funk. Okay? Because I'll tell you, it could stink. You know what? Jesus is that deodorant, man. He wants to clean that up. You see, part of what happens here is, people want to live in their wounds. They want to leave them open. They don't want to heal.
That's right.
That was a big thing for me. I didn't want none of my wounds healed. I was more comfortable in my wounds ushing, nasty, disgusting. I was more comfortable in that state than to finally just say, let me tell you this, man. Maybe you can get this in your head. Jesus wants to heal that, man. He wants to take that from you. He wants to go ahead and He wants to cover that wound up and put something new there. And we want to fight it. I fought it. I was one of the knuckleheads that fought me finally getting healed. I mean, Jesus, I don't care about my physical healing. He healed my conscience. He healed my heart. He healed my family. He healed my mouth. I mean, He has healed so many things. Forget the physical stuff. I'll get through that. Beg God. First of all, if you're not saved, beg Him that He will heal that conscience. And the only way that's going to get done is if He's your Savior. I'm just telling you that today as I stand here. But all them old wounds, I know people carry some heavy, heavy wounds in this church. I know what you carry around. Why? Because I was the very one that had those wounds. But I'm just telling you now, He's a healer. He's a healer, man. I can't stress it enough to tell you how much I have been just healed from Him just touching my life. It means a lot to me. And I mean, that's what I love. I just ask the Lord, please help me. You're that precious cornerstone. I just ask You to become precious to me. Come even more precious to me. It was hard love. I told my wife as a babe, I didn't know love until I met You. Lord, use her to teach me what true love is. I mean, just true, unselfish. There's no question in my life. that my wife loves me. And it's so unselfish, it's almost disgusting. Because that's how she thinks of me. She's so selfless when it comes to thinking of me and her children and her children at school. She is love. She doesn't see it, and that's fine. I get the advantage of it. My kids get the advantage of it. People around her get the advantage of it. Kids at school get the advantage of it. But I'm just telling you, man. I mean, how did I get so lucky? Not only did he bless me with a beautiful wife, but he blessed me with one who will just absolutely love me. I mean, just love me. And that wasn't always so. God did a lot of healing in Amy. Trust me, I was with Amy before she was saved. Amy always looked good on the outside, right? But I'm telling you now, the inside was just as dirty, full of dead men's bones. And I'm going to tell you now, they used to spew out just as well as mine. God has done a lot of healing. Amy didn't like her kids. She had a real hard time with her kids. Now I'm talking about her. Visit her, me, Luke, and Autumn. She loves those kids now, and she likes them. She likes them enough that she prays with them at night. Read the Bible to them. Get them to church. Get them up. Take care of them. You got to just, you know, you got to like your children in order to do that stuff as well. It's not just love. Anybody can love somebody. But how about liking and loving somebody? Do you know Jesus liked and loved me? Just telling you. God is good. So how much are you willing to give up? Listen to me. I just want to make this clear. He gave up everything. And you say you really want a changed life and you want something different, but you're not even willing to see what he has done for that. He might ask you to give up something that's going to be hard in your life. Are you willing to do it for what he has for you? I mean, we walk around like we're just some poor sap all the time. Oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. No. That's not what he saved you for, to poor me, poor me, and walk around that way. He wants you to go ahead and get on your knees and look to him and see what he has for you, man. He's got some healing there. If people would just look for him, they don't want to look at him anymore. They think it's not working. I read my Bible for 2 weeks, oh God. I didn't walk away from it. You know, when people hear you say that you want to change, they may not react in the next few seconds or whatever, but I'm going to tell you now, they're going to start pulling your cord. They're going to start trying if you really want to change. And you know what's going to happen if you're not ready for that? You're going to give up because you really weren't ready for change. I mean, when you're down the dumps, change sounds good, doesn't it? I can't get any lower. I got to start looking up now. Okay, let's do it. Let's change. And I'm just telling you right now, it will never work that way. You need to want change when things are going good. You need to see that you need to change when things are going good. Not just when you're down on the ground crying up. I've cried up a million times and never changed a bit. Not only has it been where I've been down and beat up and just, I want change, okay, I've got to change, blah, blah, blah. And then when things are going good, I still get on my knees, or I try to get on my knees, right? I try to get on my knees and I pray, Lord, I'm ready to change. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for everything that's going on. I'm still willing to change, Lord. You got to have the attitude all the time, not just when you're down in the dumps.
Right.
Not just when things are going wrong. You need to be willing to accept what he's going to give you. Thieves, liars, you're all sitting in this room, okay? You're looking at the cheapest one. I didn't have to steal anything from the Lord. He just gave it to me as a gift. He's willing to offer it to you. How far are you willing to go with it? I mean, really, how far do you think you're willing to go? Because some people's lives, it's not hard to look how far they're willing to go for sin. It's not hard to tell how far they're willing to go for this world. It's not hard to tell how far away from church you're willing to really walk away. You just want to push the envelope a little bit, you know. Skate on the edge there. Maybe I'll just push it a little bit more. And then when troubles come, you want to run back here. Why? Well, it's good to know the doors are open, that Jesus is always here. But I'm just going to tell you, one day it will collapse on you. You will be in trouble. Okay? One day it's all going to fall out from underneath you. God might just pull that carpet out that day. Thing is, and I don't mean to be mean,
And a lot of pastors, like Zach said, are afraid to tell people what's going to happen to them when they die if they're not saved. That's just a forgotten thing anymore. Now, I'm not a fire and brimstone type of guy. But if you die and you're not saved, you're going to hell. Hey, God doesn't pull the carpet. He doesn't sugarcoat it when he tells you in the world. Why am I going to sugarcoat it? Can't handle it? You can sit here and handle somebody calling you a name and doing everything else in the world to it, but you can't let me tell you where you're going, what the truth really is. You know, it really gets me because you'll sit there and let these men and women say whatever they want to say to you. But if a preacher gets up here and tells you the truth, oh, he said this and he said that. I mean, you make me ill. Women, ladies, girls, whatever you want to call yourself, you let these men run their mouth and say anything they want. But if God, a preacher get up here and say something, you want to get just all messed up. Guys, boys, teens, whatever you want to call yourself, you'll go around calling each other names and just twist things up, say disgusting, perverted things to each other. But somebody will get up here out of a King James Bible and say something, you want to act like a little baby. Effeminate. Numero uno, effeminate, yeah? Pastor used to call me that, and boy, I'd be all... He said, now you're just acting effeminate. I'm like, what? And I would show it. He would show it. He'd go, see? I'm like, and it would just eat me up. Because I knew it. A tough guy is not somebody who can go walk around fighting and all that. Here's a tough guy who acts like a man and can fight like a man, who can take care of a woman like a man, who can serve the Lord like a man, who can take care of his family like a man. That's a man. Because you're big and tattooed and all that. That don't make you no man. Yes, you may be able to beat somebody up. Good, let me pat you on your back and send you on your way. But I'm telling you now, that's no man. Here's a man. A woman needs a man who's going to be there no matter what. Good, bad, hard, ugly times. You know what their kids need? The same exact thing. You know what Jesus needs? Some men. He needs some men. I mean, gosh, these guys are wearing pink shirts and purple ties. Listen, man. Why? Because they have become effeminate. I mean, since the pastor... Not you, Pete. You're good. You can get away with it. I love my man, Pete. I'll tell you. He's done some special stuff with that. But that corner, man. Just that whole corner. But I'm just saying this. Pete, you know what the good... I can say this about you. In your defense, is you really don't act like an effeminate. Oh, man. If you're 18, you're a man. You know, people don't have that these days, Pete.
That's right.
So you can wear that shirt and get away with it.
Seriously. I say that in his defense. I really don't care if you wear a purple shirt or not. But I'm just saying, the guys who do wear them are very effeminate these days. He can wear a shirt like that because Pete is just not effeminate. And it's not anything to do with girls. It has to do with his emotions. Now, Tim.
No, it's messing with you.
It's good, bro. But isn't it nice to know that, you know, we can stand up here as men. That includes you. To teach these guys how to be men. I wish I had just an inkling of some of the stuff to be able to fix things like Chris does. I don't have that. Why? Because I was so busy out there in the streets, all that has passed by me. Now am I learning how to do it? Yes. Do I listen to them now? Yes, I do. But most of the time, I need somebody to come help me. Because John, thank God for John and my brother. Because I'd be a mess. But I do attempt things myself because that's the only way I'm going to learn. But just the men that are in this church, we can really have something with these young guys like Caleb and Josh and Luke. And these guys here. I mean, we can teach these guys how to be men where the ladies don't ever have to worry about being called these foul names. You know, here, me and my wife are working hard on trying to open the door for her, me being a judge. That has never happened, okay? But it's something that's just on me and my wife's heart that we should work on. But here's how bad it is. Here's how bad it's gotten with the ladies. That when I ask her, okay, stay in the car, don't you get out of the car. You stay there, I'm going to come open the door for you. That it's such an automatic thing for a man to never open that door, she'll just automatically get out. Or she'll be embarrassed sitting there because other people are watching her. Because that's what treating a lady, that's a lost thing anymore these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a shame that our ladies are to that point in their life. And you know what? Luke opens the door for his mom, opens the car door for his mom, opens it for his sister and all that stuff. He does a better job than I do. I can't remember half the time. But you know, that's why I want my son to know. But why? Because that's right, for grandma. And why? What is it because? Because a mom and a dad who are willing to give things up to give what God has to offer us. I mean, God, listen, Montgomery's, God asks, I mean, he's got you guys doing some things, man. And I mean, that's a hard thing that you guys are going through, but God knows where you're at. He's got you, Tanya. Debbie, after what you just said, don't think for a second God doesn't know. He doesn't. He knows what's going on in your hearts. He knows that if you're not willing, that you're almost willing. Be willing. He doesn't say you have to. If you read what his word says, he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to come take your burdens away from you, then you have nothing. No, he says, I'm going to come help you with them. I'm going to come make them lighter. I'm going to get in there with you. That's what he promises, to be in there with us. And you know what? A lot of times I don't pray, God, get me out of this. I say, just get me through it. And then when he gets through it, he gets in the saddle with me, I mean, we're going for a ride. Let's do it. I'm ready. When Jesus is standing next to me and we're going through something together, I'm more apt than just me coming out the other side when he never did anything. I didn't learn anything. I didn't learn how to trust him. I didn't learn how to lean on him any better if he got me out of it. But when he gets next to me, he says, all right, let's go through this deal. Let's do it. I mean, then I come out the other side learning, trusting, leaning. I mean, I feel good about things. So, you know, that's something I'm willing to give up. I tell you today, as God is my witness, as I stand up here before you today, and I mean this with all my heart, that I'm willing to give up every single thing that is worldly, every single thing that has influence on my family, and we're getting ready to make some changes in our house. I'm willing to give them up because I believe God's got a calling on me and Amy's life. I do believe that. I'm not going to say it out loud or this or that because I want maybe God to just confirm it in somebody else's heart as well. So I'm just going to leave it here and pray. Maybe God will show somebody else. But I'm telling you now, pastor sat in my house the other day. He came in and sat down on the couch. There was my TV remote. Okay? That's one thing the Lord's been... Has he not been harping on me and you for that? I mean, really just been tearing us out the front. And that's, we don't watch disgusting, nasty things. We just don't get into that. My kids don't watch Disney Channel because everything's homosexual now. I mean, there's gays all over there. There's a Disney Channel. We witnessed a girl singing to another girl saying, I love you. That they're gay. This is Disney Channel. So it's just become, the Lord doesn't want my family to be attached to something like that because, I mean, it's just, what is it showing my kids? Did I just have a talk with you about homosexuality and that yesterday? I told you that God doesn't agree with that, correct? But he wants you to love them people. Don't go out there and judge them. God's already going to do that. That's their punishment. They don't understand it. But I don't. You know what my fear is? My kid's going to go out there and judge somebody. How can they? They shouldn't be doing that. And I'm learning, training, little by little, just showing them a little bit at a time to the point where they can understand. Listen, we don't agree with them. This is their punishment. This is where God has them. But you need to pray for those people. Everybody's so busy judging. What about praying for them anymore? Because you know what? And don't sit here and act like you're all high and mighty. How many of you say, well, I don't go to hell. Come on, you've had that cross your mind. People are just so at now to say, oh, let them go to hell. And I'm not just talking about the homosexuals and the gays. I'm just talking about anything in life. People aren't anymore wanting to be friendly to people and just pray for them. I let them go. That's the attitude of the Christians these days. Just let them go. Why? Then I don't have to worry about it. Huh? Every person you run into and you don't do what God tells you to, you have an answer for that person.
That's right.
You may not have to witness to them, but you've got to do what God wants you to do for that person right there. And if you refuse to do it, you're going to answer for that. How do you know one little action or one little word that you say is not going to change somebody forever? We don't know that. Is it Paul that says, be careful, you might be entertaining unawares? I mean, just imagine, and I'm not saying an angel saying it, but just with this lost person. His name is Luke, and I'm walking up the street, and I'm loving life, I'm smiling, it's sunny out, and Luke just looks at me and he looks, I ain't so happy. I'm saved. Jesus loves me. I don't want to hear that garbage. But then a year later, I go to preach at a church down the road and sitting in the Baptist church with that very man saved, dressed, clothed in his right mind, just because of what I said then. See, we think it can't happen. And you're right. Because in the power of man, it's not going to happen. But with the power of God, it can happen. Thank God for one man that was faithful to Jesus Christ and came up to my porch 6 and some change years ago. Because he was faithful to the Lord and walked up to that porch. Me and my wife are now saved, serving the Lord in loving life. Hard as things might go through, we can handle this hardness compared to the hardness that we used to live. Because of one man's faith. Because of one man's faithfulness. Now, could you imagine if we were all faithful to the Lord? Every one of us here today. Could you imagine if we were all faithful to the Lord and what he wanted to do just for one day? That's just the life-changing things that can go on. What are you willing to give up? I didn't get to finish everything, but you get my point. What are you willing to give up for the Lord? Because he gave everything up for you. And he has so much more to offer. So much more to offer than what you see here in the world. People, most of you know, but young people, this world has nothing to offer you but hurt and pain. I come from it, I was saved out of it, and I'm warning you, please don't turn to it, because it'll be nothing but hurt and pain. I'm done.
Amen.